1320 WILS. It's called one of the greatest heists of the 20th century. It's the massive ripoff of the airwaves. It's the story outlined in the book of my next guest, a brand new book, The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age. Scott Woolley joins us. Scott, great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Scott is a technology and business writer, formerly a Forbes telecom correspondent. And you're going, this is back, what, at the turn of the century that the story begins?
Yeah, it really starts at the beginning of the wireless age. Even before AM radio, there was the wireless telegraph, and that was right at the start of the 20th century. And so it covers kind of wireless technology and really centers around the story of Edwin Armstrong and David Sarnoff, these two guys who were there at the very beginning.
And who's Edwin Armstrong?
Maybe the most famous inventor or most accomplished inventor you've never heard of. He invented, among other things, the first real radio amplifier, radio transmitter, and patented FM radio in 1933. So in the early wireless age, he was kind of known as the most gifted inventor around.
Just a genius, basically?
Absolutely.
Okay, now he teams up with a guy named David Sarnoff, and what's David's background?
He was a Russian immigrant. He shows up as a 9-year-old in New York in 1900, just off the boat from Russia, and he gets a job at the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company, first wireless company of any sort, and that's kind of how he gets hooked into the business, and then he becomes friends with Armstrong, and these two form this really great partnership.
And Sarnoff's more of a businessman, right?
Exactly. It's a little like the Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak relationship in Apple, if that rings any bells, where Sarnoff was a little more like Jobs. He understood the technology, but was also kind of a creative and business genius. And then Armstrong, like Wozniak, was just sort of a straight-up engineer who would often get a little tripped up by the complexities of the way the business would handle his inventions.
Talking to Scott Woolley, author of the new book, The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age. What did people first think was going to happen with the airwaves when this technology was coming out?
Hertz, the scientist who first discovered them, was absolutely positive there would be no value to these airwaves at all because you couldn't see them, you couldn't touch them, how would anybody use them? So when the wireless telegraph came around and people realized you could send just text messages, essentially, a few hundred miles, that was great, and there's a chapter in the book about how the Titanic, and it was the Marconi telegraph that, summoned help to the Titanic. So that kind of really, it was that moment when the Titanic rescue was made possible by these invisible waves, that all of a sudden people went from thinking they were a joke, or just a scientific curiosity, to really understanding the power of this communication.
And Sarnoff, he saw a way to capitalize on this, right?
Absolutely. He was a genius at figuring out how to do this stuff. And took it and went from the wireless telegraph to really the birth of AM radio, and realized that what wireless is particularly good for is not just connecting two people the way a telegraph used to, but connecting one person to millions. And that was one of his big inventive or the things he really pushed, and that helped him create both RCA, the Radio Corporation of America, and its most famous subsidiary, NBC.
But there was a big fallout there because Edwin Armstrong, who invented FM radio, he ended up committing suicide. What happened there?
Yeah, well, that's really how I got hooked into this story originally, because I'd seen, this famous inventor in 1954. He's in his penthouse apartment. He's an Ivy League professor. He's rich. He's famous. And he jumps out because he's gotten so embittered at his old friend and the injustice he feels has sort of befallen him, and mainly because he thought that Sarnoff had led this sort of conspiracy to cripple FM radio, to cripple the new TV industry.
And what was that? What exactly happened there? What did Sarnoff do?
Well, so a lot less than Armstrong thought. There have been a couple books sort of written about this, and Armstrong had had congressional investigations into Sarnoff and RCA and had filed a federal lawsuit and hired 17 lawyers, but had never really managed to prove that it was Sarnoff who was doing all this. And you look at what happened to FM radio, and Armstrong patented that in 1933, and it wasn't until 1984 that FM finally took over AM. So there was this real, it was a superior technology that was held down, and he just couldn't figure out why. And so he kind of blamed his friend.
And what,
very powerful
what really was causing it to be damper?
The local AM radio stations and their allies in Congress had no interest in seeing FM kind of replace them after World War II. Mm-hmm. And so they came up with a ton of phony arguments about sunspots. We're going to stop FM from working and that. And they used that to get the FCC to make all existing FM radios obsolete, and they moved the FM band. It didn't used to be from 88 to 108. It used to be from 40 to 50 or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. So all the 40 to 50 bands, all of a sudden, those radios in 1945 stopped working, and FM had a terrible reputation, slapped a bunch more regulations on it, and before you knew it, the number of FM radio stations in the country was declining in 1954, and that's what really drove Armstrong around the bend. And
why did he take it so personally, Edwin Armstrong?
Partly because he and Sarnoff were such good friends, and that was the core of this relationship I really wanted to understand. I mean, clearly he made what was, he always wanted to talk about the engineering truth and engineering reality because he's an engineer, but he was guilty of really making this personal and blaming Sarnoff, who had done so much for him and that had such a close relationship for so many decades. So it's an interesting personal story of just how this inventor was blinded to who his true enemies were.
They both made a fortune, though, right?
Absolutely. Armstrong was the largest shareholder in RCA in the 1920s, and that was the hottest stock in the 1920s, which is about the hottest stock market we've ever seen. So Armstrong was incredibly rich, and Sarnoff did very well for himself as the head of this giant company.
Was that essentially the internet boom for at the time, that kind of a phenomenon?
Absolutely. That comparison has been made because radio stocks in the 1920s were the hottest technology around. It was a new communications technology that was changing the world, just like internet stocks today. So there was a lot of parallels both in the boom and then the subsequent crash.
Yeah, and did they take advantage of the television revolution also, or...?
Absolutely. So that was a big dividing point in there, in Armstrong and Sarnoff's relationship, because Armstrong was pushing FM as a better version of radio, and Sarnoff was more interested in starting television. And this gets back into the 20s and 30s, and it was so that sort of sparked some of their falling out. And Armstrong suspected that, you know, Sarnoff didn't really care about television; he was just out to protect his AM empire by covertly sabotaging FM.
Interesting. So it's strange that Armstrong just was locked in on radio. He didn't see this massive television revolution coming, huh?
Yeah, he and Sarnoff would always, you know, advise him to stop looking at the past and, you know, stop being angry about not getting enough credit for his inventions in the past and look to the future. And that was a lesson probably good for all of us to take.
Yeah, although Edwin Armstrong, he'd probably be happy to know that AM radio is alive and well today, huh?
Yeah, and there are, you know, it's not that there was not room for AM and FM, it's just that no room at all was made for FM radio in the 40s and 50s and 60s, essentially. It was, you know, that was an artificial constraint. And so there's room for all manner of wireless apps from the very first one, like radio and television, to the more modern ones we see today.
Scott Woolley, author of the brand-new book, The Network, The Battle for the Airwaves and the Birth of the Communication Age, the story of Edwin Armstrong and David Sarnoff. Scott, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for having me on.